Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Freedom Fiends. What's up, Nima Vedati?
Anarchy! Oh, sorry,
so you
just
say.
Had to get that out my chest.
Was that an
had, to, had to say that. We haven't said that for our radio shows, so.
Whew. You had to take an A?
I had to take an A, yeah.
Yeah, you had to drop an A, dude.
I had to release the A.
Yeah, yeah. So today is May 22nd. This is a non-live, non-radio show, so there may be cussing if there are program directors listening. We don't do that on radio. We have cleaned up Liberty with the Cuss Dump 3000 and with just holding it in. And I don't really have a need to say a slew of cuss words right now. I thought I'd need to, but you know, I think it's just like Jesus has entered my soul and it's leaving my body, man. I don't need to use profane language anymore because I'm on radio.
Yeah, me either. And I've noticed it more when other people use it. I'm like, you didn't have to say that. I mean, by all means, do it. I'm not telling anybody what to do. If it's your bag, go for it. But maybe it's part of us getting prepared for radio, but I have found that I can say the same things I want to say without using the explicit language. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
I think you're growing up, Nima.
I think I am, yes.
Well, there is the thing that we're going to announce on Saturday that we can't say yet, but it is part of you growing up.
Ah, but we've said too much.
No, we haven't. The secret. The secret. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Well, I had a Fiend fan contact me through private message in Facebook, and he knew what it was.
Did he figure it out? You mean?
I'm sure he did. He didn't say it explicitly.
Because who would have told him? I mean, you don't think someone told him.
We said something in a radio show or a cast that a smart person could connect the dots, and one of them did private message me.
But
whatever. If it's in code and you get it, then I guess you deserve to know.
Well, you know, it's actually illegal to broadcast anything in code on the radio. And that wasn't really a code. That was we have a secret and we will reveal it later, which is very common in, if you couldn't do that, TV
it's
and radio
would
go out of business.
To exist.
You know,
yeah.
you couldn't do a teaser for a show then, but,
right.
Yeah. Or you certainly couldn't do one of those like Gabbo type Simpsons ones, like coming soon, Gabbo.
Yeah. That FCC rule about no speaking in code is really silly because people do it all the time, man. And how do you define code? And
well,
people call rap, you know, a code because you know, there's different slang and words.
Nah, it wouldn't. That wouldn't fit it because it's. I didn't finish it. It's a code that there's not a public key for, and there is a public key for rap, and it's called Rap Genius.
Rap Genius.
Yeah. Yes. You know, I was thinking too. We were talking about. I was mentioning when you're talking about Rap Genius, the Dead Kennedys line, the Peace Corps builds us labor camps when they think they're building schools, and how you thought that was a comment on public schools being like labor camps. And I said, no, it's like, you know, nuns and hippies and college students go to other countries and do all this physical labor and build this school. And then the next regime comes in and turns it, or the same regime, and turns it into a labor camp. And I thought about, I kind of have proof of that now, that that's what he meant. He didn't mean the schools are like jails, because that interview we read with Jello, where we did the British voice and the goat boy voice, he was praising public schools and saying we needed to steal more tax money to make them better. So he does not think that public schools are like jails. He thinks that they're like you know, what a Christian thinks a church is like, but and
he
we
thinks
need
they should just
money.
Teach things yeah. a little more progressive.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure in the context of that song, because that was a song written in, you know, the late 70s or early 80s, talking about the war in Afghanistan. Boy, things just don't change and go in circles. But yeah, he was talking about stuff over there. And I really believe that he meant that the Peace Corps builds labor camps and then someone turns their Peace Corps builds labor camps when they think they're building schools, literally.
Right, right, right. Huh. Well, that's a good, interesting thing to riff on, that sometimes you may have good intentions or think the government has good intentions, but the same government, the same state functionaries that will build you a school are the ones that will kill you. Did you read this story or hear about the story of this woman who was in court in Montgomery, Alabama? She was there for a warrant for a traffic arrest or a traffic stop that she apparently failed to appear. She got caught on a warrant for it, something simple like a speeding ticket. She had bad asthma, and the police had her medicine and wouldn't give it to her in court, and she suffocated to death because they thought she was faking it.
Yeah.
That's Obamacare, man. That's the government deciding how your health works. Yeah, that's government
care. That's not really Obamacare. That's police care.
I mean that in the sense of when you trust the state or the government to administer and have control over your health and your life, this is the kind of thing that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
In essence, that's the root of Obamacare, right? Is the state can do it better. The state should administer your health and have the final say in your life and how that can end or how you can survive. And when you let the state do that, man, this is what happens.
I don't know. I think that's more like Gitmo Care, when a cop keeps life-saving medicine from you that's a few feet away from you. That's kind
right.
of I mean
but,
that's
but
actually
you're trying to make distinctions. I'm trying to say it's the same thing. You know, the same people who bomb Iraq are the people you're expecting to help you live longer. I mean, it makes no sense. It's the same root institution.
I'm not defending the state. It sounds like you think I am. I'm not. I'm just kind of saying we don't know what Obamacare will be yet. And, you know, it's going to be something run by the state, so it's not going to be good and it's not going to be better than the market doing it. But it could be any number of things. I mean, there's a huge difference between the UK's public health, free healthcare, and Canada's. Mm-hmm. Canada's is a lot better, and it's not great. I mean, if you have cancer, you know, they're not going to do what you might want to do, and people come to America for medical tourism for things like that. But the UK, I mean, are letting people live with like bone crunching back pain and not dealing with it because it's, you know, they just don't want to. I mean, Canada, like the thing that I got cut out of my face the other day, Canada would do that if I was Canadian without waiting years and years and years. England would say, it's not life-threatening. It's elective.
Yeah.
You know, let that thing grow in your face to the size of a golf ball. We don't care.
I've always wondered, you know, there's the stereotype that British people have bad teeth. Is that because their public health care won't spring for braces on kids? Is that the cause of that?
Maybe it's because they don't put fluoride in the water. I think they put Compliosin in the water, which is fluoride.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know.
They put Compliosin in the bangers and mash.
I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I kind of want to not fall into the trap of just painting everything with the same brush, which I think the fiends do to an extent. And some days I wake up when we're doing a cast and I'm like, oh, now I have to go say bad things about the government again. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm pretty excited about it and excited to have an audience about it. But we've also done episodes where we did not talk about the government, and they were some of our best episodes ever. We talked about, you know, great things that don't involve the government rather than talked about the bad things that involve the government. And I think it's a good way to kind of be. I mean, we've listened to some kind of like we listened to that thing about Adam Kokesh where the guy's like, I've been watching this Adam Kokesh for a while, and like he immediately goes to this like, oh, he's a government plant or a Rothschild plant. And we read some stuff today that was just
horrible.
It was like I don't even want to name the website because I don't want to send anyone there and give them traffic, but it was basically like a bunch of people saying that, and I don't know if they were Nazis, but they were definitely people who believed, I didn't see the word Nazi and I didn't see the word white power, but I definitely saw the word Jew as a slur and collectivizing all Jews and saying that it's all a communist plot, even if they're an anarcho-capitalist, and that Adam Kokesh is part of the Jewish plot to take over the world, and he's a Jewish plant to overthrow the government. And I'm like, what insane collective? And they wanted to execute. They wanted the government to execute Adam Kokesh for sedition. So,
yeah, how silly is that? They're supposedly anti. They think the government is horrible because Jews run it, and they're still asking the government to do their bidding.
Yeah,
I mean, what about the disconnect there? The logical fallacy there. It's pretty ridiculous. They also look at the language they use to describe Adam Kokesh. They say he is presently in jail for smoking marijuana and attacking police. Like, that's the spin they put
that's
on this.
That's not
thing,
what happened.
He attacked police. Yeah,
yeah, that's like that's the old, like what you said last time. Like, yes, you're charged with resisting arrest because your face hit my fist when I was throwing it in your direction. Your face attacked my fist.
Yeah. You know? Well, a lot of people bringing up the point about if you're arrested only for resisting arrest, what were they trying to arrest you for in the first place? You know, there's that sort of circular logic there. How can you resist arrest and that's the only thing they're charging you with? Why were they trying to arrest you in the first place? I think somebody said it was like they killed you because you were dead. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get the inside story because we're gonna have Eddie Free. I guess he's Adam Kokesh's manservant. No, I don't. I'm kidding. But he works with him very closely and, like, you know, has.
The scoop.
Yeah, he has the scoop.
Yeah, that's all you got to say.
You know, firsthand, not second, third, fourth, eighth, ninth, whatever. You know, he works with him in his studio and in his home. So he knows him really well. He knows what's going on better than probably anybody except Adam and Adam's lawyer. So we're going to have him on the show on Saturday for one segment. That's Eddie Free, a freedom fighter friend of ours.
Some investigative journalism outfit should call themselves Raisin Brand News. Two scoops every morning. Also on this thing about executing Adam Kokesh.
That'd be a lot to live up to, though, because then you'd have to. If you only had one scoop, you'd have to, like, have a puppy parade and call it a scoop, you know?
Right. But also on this Adam Kokesh thing, just to give you a sense of, you know, these people who are calling for his execution, the top post they have says it's got a picture of Ayn Rand, Murray Rothbard, Ludwig von Mises, and I think that's Milton Friedman. And it's got a Star of David symbol and says Jude, you know, however the Nazis used to say Juden. And the caption is, anarcho-capitalism is the same thing as Marxism. They are against morality, gender, religion, race, and heritage, and claim to have a plan to abolish the state. Oh, and like Marxism, it's all Jews.
Wow. Well, it's there are several people who are Jewish lineage who were important in anarcho-capitalism, but most of them are atheists, aren't they? But I guess people who collectivize Jews as a plot or something, or as a different subspecies trying to take over the world or some crap like that. I guess they don't differentiate between religious Jews and, you know, blood Jews, I guess you'd say, or lineage, people who are Jewish by lineage. I don't know. Adam Kokesh is also Native American, as far as I know. So I don't
know. I'm sure Nazis don't like the Native Americans either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're an ANCAPs and we're not Jews. I mean, technically I'm part Aryan, right? That's what Iran is named after.
Yep.
So I don't know, man. Seems like they just have a problem making correct distinctions in the first place.
My daughter was Jewish. Part Jewish. I mean, her mother wasn't, but wasn't religious Jewish, but her lineage was Jewish. And I guess that's supposed to be through the mother because that's how it can be proven or whatever. But my daughter's dead, so doesn't really factor into anything. I guess I was a race mixer to some people then. I don't know.
I guess I just never got why that mattered. Why does it matter what your lineage is one way or the other? And do people really think that that's what motivates, I don't know, certain people of Jewish descent who are in certain positions? Is do they think that that's what motivates them, is their overarching Judaism? Because it doesn't seem likely. I mean, why not talk about ideas and principles instead of something as obscure as somebody's lineage, especially if somebody of a specific lineage or people of a specific lineage have all sorts of ideas and principles. I mean, not all Jews are ANCAPs, so why even try to make this point?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. Collectivizing anybody on anything other than them being collectivist doesn't make sense to me. I collectivize people on collectivism because they give the same arguments over and over, and it's always about aggression and pointing guns at people.
But even then, you're not attacking a specific group of people that you're collectivizing. You're attacking the principle of collectivism.
Yeah, and there are different levels of collectivism pissing me off. You know, I mean, I have friends that are like straight up communists that don't really care one way or another. They're just, if you ask them, they're like, yeah, I'm a communist. And if you have a if you give a decent argument for why that wouldn't work or why you don't want to participate in it, they're like, yeah, okay. But people like the guy I did the radio show with, I mean, he was screaming defending the state like he was defending his mother and saying, I want to point guns at the heads of people and tax them, which we got a big kick out of that. Like, I said that as the definition of what taxation in the state is, and he picked it up and ran with it. And I'm assuming or hoping that he's going to keep saying it on his radio show, and it will catch on as a meme among leftists. I think they should be out there telling the truth and saying that they want to have the government point guns at people's heads rather than just saying what everyone needs to do is, you know, be honest about it. At least.
I don't have faith in that becoming their statement. I mean, maybe that'd be good for everybody, but I don't give them that level of honesty. I don't have faith in them having that level of honesty in public, at least. Yeah. I think you were lucky to have him say that.
What do you mean? Oh, you think it's a rarity?
You were lucky that he was honest about pointing guns at people, because usually they don't do that.
Well, that guy was really smart, too. He was really smart. He had a big vocabulary. But, you know, like the scientists who think the scientists should put robots in charge of running the world, smart people can be really dumb about organizing society. But I think the fact that he was really smart made him pick up on maybe not, though, because I think it would make them look bad if they all started using that.
I don't know if he was smart. He might have been clever at what he was doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd give him the smart label.
Did you notice that site that was calling for Adam Kokesh's death by government referred to Alex Jones as Alex Jones, J-E-W-N-Z?
Which I think is obviously silly, but they do get humor points.
Yeah, well, there's big debates among those people about, I don't want to say those people. I've seen debates on sites of people who think that Jews are the problem of the world. You know, these really collectivist, I don't even know what they want. But I've seen them debate whether Alex Jones's wife is Jewish or not, and posted pictures of her and had long debates of, well, she looks Italian-American to me. No, she looks Jewish. No, she's Italian. No, she's Jewish. As if that makes any difference, man. I really just, I think people are people. I can only judge anyone as an individual. I really can.
Yeah. Do you think it's projection? Do you think it's because they're so obsessed with pigeonholing people by their ethnic lineage that they think everybody else is the same way, and that Jews want to run the world because they're just like white supremacists, only they're Jews?
See, I don't know if calling these people white supremacists is correct. I really don't. There was nothing on that site about white power, white supremacism, or Nazism. It was some weird new flavor of it that's just like, Jews are the problem. You know, it's kind of, maybe it's tinfoil hatty. I don't know. I guess my biggest problem with it, you know, I actually got in an argument with someone who's a libertarian who lives in Wyoming when there was some newspaper article about some people wanting to start a white-only private community in some tiny corner of Wyoming. You know, they wanted to buy land and start their white-litarian paradise or something. And I said, like, you know, as long as they're peaceful, I have no problem with it. And this lady got incensed, and she was Jewish and a libertarian. And then I explained property rights to her, and she said, yeah, I guess I can see your point. You know, basically, I was like, I don't care what people do or what they think. I care what people do. I don't care what they think, I guess is what it is. I don't care what they think or say. Yeah. I care whether they're being aggressive against other people. And saying something ridiculous like the whites are the only true good race of God isn't aggressing on anybody. No, nor is saying, you know, black power only, black people should only have the right to eat or whatever. I mean, right. I have no problem.
It's not aggressing until you aggress. Yeah. Until you grab the reins of the state and use that to guide your state aggression, or until you go have a pogrom, you know, then it's obviously aggression. But if people want to go buy some land legitimately and have a white settlement, you know, here in Texas, we've got a city called White Settlement. If you want to go do that, you know, and be exclusive. I mean, that's kind of the point of being exclusive, right? And as long as you don't hurt anybody and it's voluntary, then yeah, that's a property rights thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess there was a big hubbub about, this reminds me of, there's this big hubbub about Abercrombie and Finch. I think that's the company.
Fitch.
I'm not sure. Fitch? Okay.
Yeah, it's not the bird.
Okay. I do my shopping at Goodwill, so. But, yeah, man, they, I guess their CEO or some big wig in the company said something to the effect of, well, we don't want fat and ugly people buying our clothes. And apparently it was this like big to do and everybody was really upset by this. And my wife was like, you know, what's the big deal? If they want to be exclusive and sell to a specific piece of the demographic, you know, and have a market share only there, then that's their business decision. And it's up to the market to decide if that's an appropriate response or not. And the other thing is, they've already, through the products they're selling, physically made that exclusion. They don't sell anything above a size 10. So they've already done it, and they've done this for years.
And I'm sure there's people who would want to use government guns to make them make large sizes and take back and apologize for that statement.
Probably.
You know, a lot of times when there's boycotts and the market speaks, the market doesn't really speak very loud. Like, think about the hip-hop wine. What is it? The hip-hop drink? That
Cristal.
Yeah, the French owner of Cristal said, like, I don't like these savages spraying my liquor all over each other in their videos. And somebody
should not make it rain. Only God can make it rain.
Is that what he said? That's funny.
No,
that sounds Middle Eastern to me. But, you know, some rapper had a boycott. Who was it? Was it Puffy Combs? Or
it was Jay-Z. No, it was Jay-Z. Well, wasn't really a boy. I'm not sure if it was a boycott or not. He just stopped talking about it. And like, he switched to bragging about Ace and Ciroc, which are liqueurs that are owned by Jay-Z and Sean Puffy Combs.
Well, how'd that work out? So, do rappers still drink Cristal or do they drink Ace and whatever?
Well, I haven't heard people rapping about it. The Boondocks kind of lampooned it. They did a thing where Granddad wants to drink Cristal, and he has this daydream, and he's drinking Cristal, and all these girls are around him, and then Jay-Z comes and looks at him and just shakes his head. And
30 Rock did it,
away.
Too. 30 Rock did it, too.
Did they?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the thing the guy said wasn't as bad as people made it out to sound. He didn't say these savages or these blacks or anything. Basically, it wasn't a race thing. It was a class thing. Like, if, you know, if it were NASCAR drivers spraying Cristal all over each other, he would have said the same thing probably. It was basically like, you know, I don't like my stuff being sprayed and wasted, and I don't like it being associated with, you know, a street demographic. But in 30 Rock, it's they show a French guy in a tuxedo saying, like, I do not like these baboons spraying my wonderful sauce of the gods on each other. It is vulgar.
Sauce of the gods. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So back to the white power thing. The thing I don't understand, like saying that anarcho-capitalism is the same as Marxism, does not make sense to me, because Marxism is all about collectivizing everyone and putting the country or the nation or the state over everything, which is kind of what most white power people seem to want to do. Whereas anarcho-capitalism is completely the opposite. It's completely about the individual.
Well, I guess you would use cherry picking to describe the fallacy there. Maybe we should ask Ben Stone, our liberty and fallacy, logical fallacy mentor there, or sponsor. But he picks out a few things that are similar, but leaves out the things that make it radically different, the important things, i.e. Property rights and self-ownership. He picks, the founding people of it were Jews. That's one thing.
Well, there's also...
they want to abolish the state. That's another thing.
Someone has also suggested that this site, the Execute Adam Kokesh site and the associated Jews Run the World sites that talk about Adam Kokesh, that they may be COINTELPRO agent government plants, which gets thrown around a lot. But who knows, man? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I guess that kind of stuff is almost irrelevant, in my opinion, at least. I mean, I might go back and change this, but right now I feel like that's kind of irrelevant. Something should stand or fall on its own merits. If the principle of something is incorrect or the analysis of something is incorrect, you should know without saying, oh, well, it's incorrect because it's a COINTELPRO agent, you know?
Yeah.
It almost seems like an unimportant distinction.
Yeah. Back to the boycott thing. You know, there was a big thing about the owner of Whole Paycheck, Whole Foods. The owner of Whole Foods a few years ago, he is almost an anarcho-capitalist. He definitely fits in that kind of libertarian, really small government, leave me alone. You know, the producers run the world. The government shouldn't be, what's the word that Rand uses? Looters shouldn't be looting.
The looters.
Now, progressives basically boycotted that company. And I guess it didn't work because if you listen to that interview, that interview with the little more progressive guy that we're going to talk about, the meme that I did about that too, which is pretty funny. That guy right before or between segments, there was a little bit of him saying, and we're going to be teaching a class and it's at Whole Foods this week. And, you know, so like they're still patronizing Whole Foods, I guess. But it was really bizarre to me that, I mean, basically that guy said something like, I don't want the government raising my taxes. It's immoral. And I built this and they didn't. It was something like that. And liberals just said, like, we're never going to shop here anymore, which is weird because 98% of their demographic, I think, is liberals. They kind of cater to them, too. But the thing is, he didn't say anything aggressive or, you know, even controversial to me. He just said, I don't want to pay more taxes. And the thing is that's really interesting, Whole Foods operates the way I think a great company would in LibPair, because Whole Foods provides healthcare for people who, when they're not required to. If you work at Whole Foods for a while, they have profit sharing, which isn't redistributing the wealth. It's the company saying, you're making so much money for us, we're going to give you stock, basically.
And it provides a sense of ownership to the employees. There's other big companies that do that too. And it's a really, it's a good incentive for the employee to make sure that they're treating customers properly and that they're building the brand and not talking crap about it to customers because they're, a part of the profit making.
Yeah, I did this radio interview for the DIY or Die movie in Houston once on this all communism all the time community radio station. I went into their offices. And like the guy doing the show after me, the guy doing the show before me, the guy doing the show that was doing the interview with me, every poster on the wall was all communism all the time. And they all were like 8 out of 10 people who ran that station worked at Whole Foods. It was really strange to me because Whole Foods is like an example of why you don't need the state. I mean, they give flex time. They did everything the government tries to require now before it was required. And they did it in a way that they made more money, not less. And their employees were more happy, not less.
It's almost like what we're saying is the market can provide communism better than the state can.
Or at least the communism can make the market can make communists so happy with their job that they don't feel that they need to unite the workers of the world and overthrow their job. They're happy with it.
Right. And I think there's other examples of those kinds of communist economic desires that are provided by the market. In when I lived in Washington State, one of the big grocery stores was called Winco. And I think they're also in some other northwestern states. And the concept, and they have this in their literature, like when you walk in, it says all employee owned and all the cashiers and stock boys and all that, they have some stake in ownership of the company. They want it to be a more horizontal structure. And it's kind of got sort of a commie feel, like, you know, the workers are the owners. The workers own the means of production, this kind of thing. But the employees seem happy. They like it. And the prices are super cheap, so the customers like it. And this is all based on voluntary action. You know, no state agency invented Winco. No state regulatory body decided what their business model was. It's just voluntary action, people providing something that workers would like and that customers would like.
You know who else functions like that is Discord Records. Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threats label that he's run for 20-some years. I've been to their offices several times. They basically started in their home and then got so big that they didn't have room there to do it. And then they rented the basement of the 7-Eleven across the street from their house. And then they ended up buying the basement of it. And it's like a modern, nice office. They probably had, last time I was there in like 91, they probably had, five full-time employees and, you know, maybe 10 part-time employees, mostly people who are in bands on Discord that have to leave and tour a lot. And they were providing health care. They were not legally required to do it, but they were providing health care for everyone there, health and dental, and had total flex time, like because everybody, you know, half the people there were in bands that toured 6 months of the year. So, and I come back again and again to Discord Records as an example of like a good way to run things that don't involve the government. And their whole thing too was like, and I want to talk about this on radio because I think this is something to bring up again on radio. But this, their whole thing, they weren't anti-major label. They were outside of the major label system. Like a lot of punk rockers were like, man, major labels are the state. That's the man. That's capitalism. Screw that. And Minor Threat and Fugazi and Discord Records did not have that attitude. And I talked to Ian at length about this and some in person and, you know, one-on-one and then some in the DIY or Die movie and in the extras. And his whole thing is just like, I have no interest in that. It's boring and they waste money and they do everything with contracts. We do everything with a handshake. No one's ever tried to sue us. Everyone's happy. We pay bands, you know, we sell records cheaper. We pay bands a higher royalty rate. There's no advances, just percentage of sales. And everybody likes it and everybody's happy. Yeah. And they have sold millions of records, you know, running this out of their house and then out of a basement across the street.
Well, and those are the strategies that end up defeating the state in the long run. The strategies that say, well, we're not going to participate in this. We'll provide something better. That reduces the demand for the state, right? Because those people that were in that Discord record circle, they didn't have to worry about giving their talent or their efforts towards the establishment anymore. They had another outlet to do that. And if you can take that model and do it in other things, then that's how you win the battle against the state.
And they also never had any like exclusive agreements, even in their handshake contract. If you wanted to do a couple records on Discord and then you wanted to signed to a major label, they'd be like, okay, fine. And basically what generally happened, and this is how they dealt with that, was bands would do that. They'd get signed to a major label. They'd sell less records than they did on Discord. They'd get in fights over the money and fights with the label. They'd break up, and then Discord fans would just laugh at them. They wouldn't say, like, you're horrible. We cast you out. It'd just be like, okay, you go and do that and see what happens. And almost invariably, it just worked. You know, they tried to come crawling back to Discord, and Discord would probably be like, well, I don't know, man. We're full up for the next couple of years of putting records out. Come back in a few years and ask me again. But
yeah, go ahead and reunite with Snakes and Barrels. See what happens.
Brutal. I mean, and that is kind of my attitude about the state. I'm not really like anti-government. I don't want to smash the state. I really want to work outside of it as much as possible and create knowledge and education on our own to where people realize they don't need it and need it less and less and teach others to where it just drowns itself in the bathtub going, nobody loves me. And we're going to go to the market and then come back for more.
All right.
And talk about how I got 8 stitches after a fight with a progressive.
Bam.
Howdy. I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast. The market in free liberty media is overwhelming these days. With such a selection, what would entice a freedom seeker to spend precious time listening to an old bullet-scarred liberty warrior from an age gone by? Would homespun logic and down-to-earth explanations of economics tickle your attention? How about a truly original view of that ugly old dragon, the state? I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. And we have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. That's badquaker.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing. Buttons! Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
Shit, fuck, cunt, tits, cock, dick, pussy, asshole, cocksucker, motherfucker, poop in his mouth, and prurient things and appeal to the lowest common denominator. I had to get it out, man. We
rub poo all over myself, yeah.
We've been holding it in for radio. All right, I'm better now.
Okay, good.
Ah, that's the list I have on my wall in my little radio studio of what
do
I
do. You
can't.
Have a list?
Yeah. You're supposed to have say. A list, but you've been doing good without the list.
I would worry about seeing that and it being subconsciously transmitted through my mouth.
I thought about
because,
that too.
Because it went in through my eye hole. I know. So it's got to come out somewhere.
Well, yeah. The interesting thing is the FCC will not publish a definitive list of what you can and cannot say on the radio, which
because they like to keep it free form so they can attack whoever they want to attack.
Yeah, I think that's what it is now, but I think when it started, I'm not defending government again, but government has really grown in every sector to the point where its main product or service is arresting people and taking all their money. And it wasn't always like that. It kind of was just, that's kind of a byproduct of it, I think. I mean, am I being a heretic here, a heretic anarchist, saying that, like, I think a lot of people who got into government a long time ago got into it because they believed in change and wanted to change things, and when you, but you dance with the monster and you become the monster?
No, when you say it like that, it makes sense. I mean, yeah. people in the government, you know, as distinct from the state, which is the state of mind that allows a minority to control and aggress against a majority. But the people, you know, the old lady with the blue hair at the DMV, and maybe she's just working, or maybe she thinks she's doing something good for society. That's irrelevant, you know. So yeah, maybe there are people who thought they were doing good, and but you can't grab that ring of power or be associated with it and not end up with blood on your hands.
Yeah. So here's what I think. I think that the FCC doesn't publish them now for the purpose you said of being able to, you know, selectively enforce, but also because they've never published them. And I think the reason they didn't publish them 50 years ago was because it's like, we're a government site. We can't put those words on our site. Those are the words we're trying to stop. Seriously.
Well, if we want to attribute good intentions to them, you know, maybe they realized language evolves with time and didn't want to pigeonhole a certain set of words. Well, also, if they publish the words, then those words all of a sudden become a forbidden fruit, and then they sort of can turn words that weren't explicit before into explicit words.
Do you know where the word pigeonhole comes from?
The butthole of a bird that flies.
Birds don't have buttholes. They have cloacas, which is
cloacas.
Birds and insects have cloacas. A cloaca is a common orifice through which a bird or insect shits, pisses, and fucks and gives birth.
Right. Yeah, Louis C.K. has a bit about that, about how ducks have just one hole and how sorry he feels for the male duck.
Well, you know, my band Baby Opaque, the first record I was ever on, the first vinyl we put out in 1983, and it was a 7-inch record on our own label, Cloaca Records.
Because everything comes out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We wanted to do something that was really offensive, but kind of smart, I think. The guitar player came up with it. So, yeah, okay. I don't know. Yeah, Cloaca Records, man.
Cloaca.
But Pigeonholes.
Yeah, the Freedom Fiends, a Cloaca of Liberty.
Pigeonholes are those kind of mailboxes that they have, used to have in offices, or they have in school sometimes, where, you know, there's a bunch of like vertical and horizontal, like a warren of cubbies. Uh-huh. Those are called pigeonholes. And to pigeonhole something is to put it into a box with a label on it, basically.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I just
that's
made that up.
That's your etymology lesson.
It sounds
today,
it sounds right. I just made it up, okay. But I think I heard it somewhere.
We'll run with it.
Yeah. So libertarian gets 8 stitches after fight with progressive. Let's talk about that.
Oh my God, those progressives are so violent. I can't believe they punched some libertarian in the face.
This picture looks horrible. Look at this picture. He's got stitches and his face is black and blue. I'm going to forward this to all my friends.
Can you believe that? Did you see that? Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Clever blog post here, Michael. Of course, you have to read the body of the damn blog post if you're going to know the truth.
Yeah.
Headlines, you know, this is – well, why don't you go ahead and read the post, you know, because it pretty much sums it up perfectly.
Libertarian gets 8 stitches after fight with progressive, and there's a really dire picture of me with kind of a Frankenstein-looking actual scar with 8 stitches in it on the side of my face and some black and blue around it and up to my eye. And I look really pissed. It looks like either a police photo or more like, you know, a photo a doctor would, like the insurance company would take in the emergency room or something.
Okay. Yeah.
My wife actually took it. We took about 20 of them and we took the meanest looking, angriest looking one. It says, breaking news in the fight against injustice, and a great example of when words go too far and logical fallacies prevail in seemingly civil discussions. Freedom fiend Michael W. Dean ends up with 8 stitches after fight with progressive. Now, I calculated this strategically. There's a word count that's intentional in that first paragraph because it's the maximum word count that will show in a Facebook preview.
Yep. I figured that because I saw that. I was like, huh, how's he going to do this without giving away, spilling the beans?
And then
so, very clever.
And then when you click on it, you go on to read. It says, but here's what you should know. You should always read an article before reacting to the headline, and you should certainly read an article before you forward a link to all your friends. You should also certainly read an article before you comment on it on some social network, basing your comment only on the title and the image. Now, I made this little ruse to prove the point because I get really tired here's an example. Like, we post something with a feisty kind of like not quite what we believe title. Like, we'll call a Freedom Fiends episode, you know, did Adam Kokesh get set up in Gitmode, is an example. Or like, we even have used things like, you know, all guns should be outlawed for the name of an article. And then the podcast is actually about how, you know, government guns should be taken away at force, not citizens' guns. And people forward that stuff angrily based on the title and the picture without reading it. And it's a problem. Maybe it's an old man problem of like these youngsters and their internets and they don't read anything and they just spend all day forwarding stuff and think they're taking action. That's part of it. But part of it is also kind of the future shock, the overwhelming amount of information. And I've complained about this to the point where I've taken actions like, blocking people on Facebook and then deleting myself from Facebook after that wasn't enough, you know. And it wasn't just that people were pissing me off. It was that there are not enough hours in the day for me to do the fiends and deal with every email and everything everybody sends me. So yeah, but I understand that, but I also think people should read things before they comment on them or forward them. I'm not saying they should read everything. That's impossible. But they should read things before they just blindly click, because the internet has made it really easy to just blindly click. So going on in this post, Michael did get in a fight with a verbal fight with a progressive, but it did not end in fisticuffs. And a few days after that fight, Michael did have a procedure done to remove a cyst on his face that resulted in 8 stitches. But there was no connection between the two. So the headline, Libertarian Gets 8 Stitches After Fight with Progressive, is accurate but misleading. And that's another thing, like, this is a lesson on don't believe every news item you read, because they do a lot of cherry picking with news for an agenda with things like this. So,
oh, yeah.
Ben,
the headline is the worst, but yes, it can happen in the body of a news article. But yeah, the first step is to read the actual text, the body of the article, and still be wary of these kinds of logical fallacies, which you'll go on to explain via Ben Stone.
Yeah, Ben Quaker, bad Quaker Ben Stone, bad Quaker Ben Stone says that this is an example of the following logical fallacies: non sequitur, fallacy of relevance, fallacy of composition, cherry picking, bait and switch. I would say it also has a little bit of the Texas sharpshooter fallacy. You know that one, Nima?
Is that when you put a target up against like the side of a barn and just shoot at it all day and there'll be all bullet holes all over the place, but you'll still have a good grouping? No.
No, it's where you just shoot randomly at a barn all day and then find the groupings and paint a bullseye around them.
Ah, okay.
And I don't know why it's called Texas. Maybe someone in Arkansas made it up. But it seems to be insulting in saying Texans can't shoot or that they lie. But
it's probably somebody in Oklahoma.
Yeah, there you go. So for more on identifying logical fallacies and diffusing them when they're used on you, which often happens with progressives and conservatives when they're confronted with libertarian ideas, check out Ben Stone's Bad Quaker episode where he debunks some progressives' arguments with Michael on radio. Please forward this link to all your friends.
Yes. Great work there, Michael. I really appreciate your service.
Yep. It has 77 shares on Facebook so far and 18 on Twitter. And most of the people that shared it on Twitter have like 5,000 followers, like Scott Horton did and Ron Paul Vote, which is actually an anarchist page. I guess he started as a Ron Paul guy and became anarchist and didn't change the name of his page. But a bunch of people like that. And that's I was pretty honored. Scott Horton also said, "Heh," to it, H-E-H, like, that's funny, you got me. And a lot of people said, you got me. Eddie Frio forwarded it to all his friends and then said, ah, you got me, after he forwarded it. And your wife loved it. Your wife posted on it, I love this so much, and so much is in capital letters. And you explained to me that she liked what I was going for, which is debunking people who just forward things randomly. And I'm glad to hear that because she didn't explain it. And I thought maybe she loves so much just a picture of me looking like I was beaten up. But
yeah, that's not it.
I'm kidding.
Oh, you going to Armageddon.
I do. I go to Armageddon. Or maybe she's turned on by, you know, she's like Jenna Maroney. Like, I've been getting very turned on by car accidents lately.
Yeah, that's not it.
It's a really...
she's a gentle soul.
Good. I know. I do go to Armageddon, though, with what I believe people think about me. But this picture is pretty dire looking. It looks like I was hit in the face with a lead pipe because it's not just the eight scars, the eight stitches on the 2-inch long scar. There's also some black and blue marks and some little burn marks up by my eye. Basically, I had a couple skin tags up there that were barely perceptible, but I was like, while I'm here, you know, can you take care of these? And he's like, yeah, I'll burn these and I'll freeze these. And he burned three and then the three by my eye, he froze, you know, and when they do this, you can smell burning flesh. It's really brutal. The cyst was like, I thought they were just going to, cut. Well, if anybody wants to fast forward about a minute, this may be kind of gory. So, I thought they were just going to cut and kind of squeeze it out. It was about the size of a lima bean, probably. It was in my face and it had grown over the last 6 months. It didn't look freakish. I mean, you can find pictures of me from the last 6 months where you can see it. It just looks like a little bump that's the same color as my skin. But touching it, you could definitely feel it. It was like the size of a lima bean probably under my skin. And it was non-cancerous. It was just fat, you know, like an infected hair follicle or something. And they basically said, you know, you can either pay $500 and we'll take this out, or you can leave it. It's not life threatening. It may get to be the size of a golf ball, but you know, we can't do anything about it. You know, you don't have to do anything about it, which in England they would do. You'd be walking around with something the size of a golf ball. And I've seen that in England. So, and I've seen it on homeless people. So they cut it out and I thought it was just going to be like, you know, they gave me a bunch of Novocaine. They made an incision in the skin. I thought they would just like use two gloved thumbs and pop it out like a zit or something. But nah, man, it was like in there. Like he used like a pair of surgical pliers and his nurse was holding the skin flaps open while the doctor like put his foot against the chair I was on for leverage and wrenched this thing for about a minute and then got it out enough that he could cut it with a scalpel. And then he washed it out with some kind of fluid, and then burned it with an electrical pen. Like I could smell burning flesh. And I don't think they put any microchips in while I was there, but maybe. Who knows?
It sounds like a Death Clock episode.
It really does.
Brutal.
Yeah. I almost asked to see it when we were done, but I was like, I don't want to see that, man. I really don't.
My wife had a cyst in her head. She'll probably kill me if she heard me talking about this. But a couple years back, she had a cyst in her head that she had surgically removed. And I got to be there. And I was totally into it. And they actually, after they pulled it out, it was about the size of a penny. And it was sitting there on the table. And I was in the room with them. And they were like, I was like, can I pop it? And they were like, go for it. And they let me grab the scalpel. And I just sort of pushed it in the center. And it goes, and all this pus came out.
Did it smell?
Best thing ever. I don't recall if it smelled or not.
Because this thing was oozing a little bit of smell that kind of smelled like when you pop a zit. It was really gross. It was like, you know, it wasn't like constant, but like if you kind of pushed on it, like nothing would come out that you would see. It was just kind of like oil oozing through the skin, and you could smell my finger. And it would smell kind of like, you know, the rancid pus that comes out of a zit when you pop it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. It was weird, though, because it was like I was smelling it. This is what led me to go to the doctor when I got $500 as a royalty check from something years ago that I forgot about. I was like, yeah, I got me some fix my face money. Because I was lying in bed one night and I smelled something really bad and I started sniffing everywhere and I couldn't locate it. I was like, did a cat poo or pee or, you know, is there a mouse rotting in the wall? And I couldn't locate it. And the only time I'd smell it, when I was lying on my pillow on my back, it smelled like it was like right in front of my face, you know, because I would move my head and some had just oozed. And then I'd smell this little cloud of rancid pus or something. And even though there was none visible. So it was like something inside my body smelled. And I was like, okay, that's it. I'm getting this cut out of me, man. Mm-hmm. It was brutal. It was fun.
That is brutal.
And it made a good blog post.
I think the reason the blog post spoke to me so much was because my years being a professional TV journalist, more so in my second market than my first, but in the second market, you know, they had a very active website and a lot of the importance was placed on making a good web headline to the sacrifice of accuracy oftentimes. You know, the concept was grab them, you know, we just got to get that click, got to get that page view. You know, I don't know if that was said explicitly, but that's definitely what it felt the culture was like. And I was not happy about it. And it became to where you would try to make headlines like this. Like, that's what you would go for. Is you would go for headlines that like this that you could say, well, it's close enough to being accurate. You know, nobody could really peg us on this, just like your headline.
War begins. War begins. What was that from?
War begins with a W. Yeah, after the jump. But this is a perfect example because, yes, you did get 8 stitches. You are a libertarian, and it was technically after a fight with a progressive. You know, it's a non sequitur, but in some senses, it's accurate. And so we would have to do things like that. Like, there was a time when the local jail was making more money because they were renting out beds to other counties. And I think I had to do the headline of something like, you know, prisons are saving you hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, and in a sense, yeah, I guess it's kind of, they're not, you know, losing money because they're able to rent out these beds. They're not losing this opportunity cost for the taxpayer stolen built prison. But is that really what's happening? I mean, are you going to get a rebate check or a refund check?
No, not
at all.
So I just sent you the link. I want you to grab it and repost it live on the Freedom Fiends Facebook site and the Guns and Weed Facebook site. Yeah, it was posted last night, but it was like, you know, most people go to bed. It's not it needs to be reposted live on both of those. So okay. We'll have you do that while I introduce the next bit. Let's see. Pregame comments, barrels. You know, I was talking to someone who said that, well, I have a theory. Okay. We've talked about the meth billboards before. They got the guy from who directed Requiem for a Dream to direct these really messed up looking TV ads. And then they hired some nobody to replicate the look of them for the Montana Meth Project. And then they made billboards, and the billboards are like skinny, pretty models from modeling agencies, but then they put monster makeup on them and then say that's what meth looks like. And I was around people who did meth for decades in San Francisco, and it was like some of the strongest meth in the country. I mean, it was like, you know, everybody says, oh, our drugs are the best, as if I don't know if that's a I don't know. I guess in LibPair it would be a a talking point, but I guess it's a NIMBY, not in my backyard. I kind of would.
Well, in the pair, there'd also be gentle marijuana, yeah. not that strong stuff. Gentle on your stomach, you know, like you have the coffee that doesn't kill your stomach that people sell, because there's a market desire for things like that
in
sometimes.
Utah. So. Utah would have 3-2 pot.
3-2 pot.
Yeah.
No, the 3-2 is not a market thing at all, but I get what you're getting at.
Well, no, it'd be religious law things, but you know, okay, they probably have ads to comply with the law, although they probably don't have liquor ads in Utah. I don't know. But so that same company, I think it's the same company because the billboards look identical. They just came out with a whole bunch of more billboards in Wyoming of drunk DUI billboards. And they basically show young, hip people with a little bit of monster makeup, like they haven't slept or maybe they've been in a mild car accident.
Or have 8 stitches on their face.
Yeah. You know, doing their police photo, their booking photo. And it's like, you know, 4 drinks can ruin your life. And that's the campaign. And here's what I think. I really think that none of that stuff stops the real dangerous alcoholic drinker from drinking. It only stops the people who, you know, want to have 2 beers and drive home and are totally safe with it. It doesn't stop the guy who's got a problem, who's going to drink no matter what. So it doesn't, I don't think it reduces drunk driving accidents. I think it creates money for the state. It creates the illusion that politicians are doing something.
Yeah, I think that's the big one.
And where a lot of the money comes from for the state isn't just, you know, the fine or whatever. It's the whole machine of putting you through the state legal system.
Yep.
So here's what I think. I think that there's been a lot of talk about juries, especially in this part of the country, just not siding with the state anymore. I mean, it's not like anarchists or libertarians or people who've read anything of fully informed juries. It's like normal Joes who vote and think the government should do things. But this part of the country, people just don't want to side with the state, especially if the state kind of like pushes them, like, okay, you know, kind of like tries to manipulate them in court and is really obvious about it. And I think that since they're having trouble convicting people for drug things and drunk driving things, you know, I mean, things that aren't really, there's no victim. I think that they're putting these billboards up to try to influence juries mentally, you know, to get them to be more likely to go, you know, whereas before someone might go, you know, if someone wants to have a beer and drive home and they don't hurt anybody, what's the problem? Or if, you know, if someone wants to do some meth in their house and I don't have to see it, I don't care. But they use these billboards to maybe sway juries to go, oh my God, meth, that's horrible. That makes you into a monster who rapes grandma, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's possible. And the main thing is they're obviously using it to influence public opinion, and it's stolen money they're using for propaganda to influence public opinion. And there's some really horrible ones in Texas that I think becomes counterproductive because it's so much so the state is all, nothing outside of the state, and we have the power to ruin your life and you must submit. Yeah. For instance, there's the Austin Police Headquarters. They always have this giant flag. It's not a flag, but they have a giant advertisement posted up on the big front wall of it so you can see it real well from the highway that goes past it. And it's always something real horrible. And the most recent one is a picture of the interior of a vehicle, and you can see all the seats, you know, the front passenger, the driver, and the two back. And it says, "We've got a ticket for everyone in the house."
Ugh.
You know, and it's a clicketer ticket thing.
Are they going to ticket the baby?
Yeah. Well, they actually ticket you, the driver, if it's a minor not wearing a seatbelt. You get the ticket. But for every seat in the house is what it says. And it's kind of trying to be cutesy, and you got a ticket for every seat in the house. You know, like they're selling something, like you want to go see a good show. It's just real silly and insulting to me. Oh, and on the LBJ library, there's one too, because I don't know. I didn't research this, but did LBJ have something to do with seatbelt laws? He might have, because on the LBJ library, there's a big banner that says, "Check and see what LBJ did for your safety." And then it says "click it or ticket" next to it. You know, like come see the display we have for LBJ tyrannizing you.
How LBJ's family is notoriously old boy networky Democrat, runs Texas kind of thing, or is purported to the point where it was news when a person actually defeated that family in court. It happened once. It was some talk show host who said something derogatory about some member of that family and was sued and won in court. And it was national news because somebody won in Texas against that family.
Wow.
So speaking of things that we've noticed about the state being stupid, we never talk about that on The Fiends, but we will today. It's a different new day in The Fiends. We're talking today about the state and how dumb it is for a change. So this tornado in Oklahoma, it's horrible. I don't want to make light of it, but I do want to point out something about the reaction to it.
Okay.
I heard on Fox and MSNBC, I was channel flipping just to, you know, I do about 5 minutes a day to catch up with whatever lies they're telling. And both of them mentioned in the same 5 minutes that they were like, you know, and don't come down and offer to volunteer unless you have a skill that we need. Like, basically, we appreciate people coming down here, but so many people are coming down here that we're turning people away unless they're doctors or mechanics or, you know, own excavating equipment or whatever. Like, basically, we don't want just a flood of people coming down here. We only want people with definable skills. About 5 minutes later on Fox, they showed footage of National Guardsmen in uniform shoveling mud out of some lady's house. And I'm like, really? Like, you're turning people away. I think it's a photo op thing. I think it's like, we want to show the state saving these people, and we want to turn away the market reaction, the free gift of care that people are giving by coming down there. Like, what discernible talent or skill does a National Guardsman have that makes him better at shoveling mud out of someone's garage than the average person?
Yeah. Excellent point. I also think some of it is in these situations when FEMA comes in or the National Guard comes in, everything has to be centrally planned. And the field commander, or what do they call it, incident command, wants to call the shots. So when you have a situation like that, then maybe people coming in will gum up your works. But if you didn't have that incident command that was supposed to be keeping track of everything, then people could come in and get in where they fit in. Back in the Katrina days, people were getting turned away, like people with resources, you know, people who drive a truck full of water down there. They were getting turned away because they didn't have the appropriate paperwork filled out. And they were like, well, go wait in Tulsa for a few days and we'll call you when we're ready.
They've turned away like city firefighting units from other cities, FEMA has. I mean, and talk about like people with the particular skill you need. I mean, it's not some guy showing up saying, I'll help put out the fire. Give me a hose. No, it's like fire trucks with trained firemen showing up saying, let us help. And FEMA saying, nope, only FEMA firemen allowed here. That's insane.
Well, it goes back to, you know, the problem with the state is that nobody in the state has anything like the public or the national interest at heart. They only have their own stats and their own reputation to defend. And so they want to make themselves look good. And so they want to be like, well, look, I organized all of this. Look how great I am.
Yeah.
And they don't want anybody else taking the credit for something that happened.
Yep. And we're going to go to the market and sell some things. And then we're going to come back and talk more about why central planning is dumb. It's not that the state is dumb. It's just that central planning is dumb. Aggression is dumb. And that's two things that the state produces as a product or service. All right. Worms.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com. tyrantsofliberty.com. Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadadi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Yeah,
got any guns? Have any guns today, Governor? I'll just take that.
No, I lost them all in a voting accident.
So do you know what a state electrician is?
Unfortunately, yes, I do. But I'll let you explain it. I'll let you tell it.
It's a euphemism for the guy who pulls the switch at an electrocution when they execute somebody.
Yeah. So is somebody who waterboards somebody with Ensure in Guantanamo a state health expert? A state nutritionist?
A state plumber.
A state plumber,
yeah. You know, the there thing about they in the Watergate thing, they said that they arrested plumbers during a break-in. They weren't posing as plumbers. Plumbers was the nickname for the CIA or the FBI or CIA group headed by G. Gordon Liddy. They were called the plumbers because they were in charge of springing leaks of information. That's something not a lot of people know. People think it was actual plumbers breaking into that hotel. No, it was,
yeah, I didn't know that.
No, man. It was like, you know, calling Mr. Wolf the cleaner. I guess he is actually more of a cleaner, though, than they were plumbers. But
okay.
So we've talked about state electricians. We want to talk now about non-state engineers.
Yeah.
What did you send me?
Okay, so this is the Forbes headline, $25 gun created with cheap 3D printer fires 9 shots. And so when we talked to Cody Wilson a couple weeks back, you were trying to convince him, hey, the work's already done. You know, the market or the diffuse internet will take it from here and people will improve on the design. So don't get arrested, Cody. And your prediction about people taking it on themselves to improve the design and keep coming out with more and more, it's already come true just 2 weeks later.
Yep.
According to Forbes, a Wisconsin engineer who calls himself, quote, Joe, test-fired a new version of the Liberator printed on a $1,700 Lulzbot.
A0-101. And that's a cheaper printer than what Cody used.
Yeah.
Cody used one that was $8,000 new, although the prices may have come down since Cody bought his like a year ago. So who knows? But I like the way they're testing this, too. This is actually how I suggested originally to Cody to test it. They basically have it mounted on a rail vise and are pulling the trigger with a string from a safe distance, which makes a lot of sense. I suggested that to Cody before he ever came up with a gun. I don't know if he did it or not. He never showed that. He just showed himself firing it, but maybe it's after they tested them this way. I'm not sure, but I like the way they're testing it.
Yeah, I do too. And I think it's really great that all of a sudden, you know, just 2 weeks later, the market has spoken and the gun is now cheaper. It's printable on a cheaper 3D printer and it survives 9 shots, although it did take them a while to do those 9 shots. If you watch the YouTube video, it's over the course of an evening and the first shot's pretty bright out and the last shot, it's already, you know, dusk. So I guess it takes a while to load.
Has this been posted on the Fiend's Facebook?
No, I guess we should do that, though. We should post that.
Yes. Well, yes. I'm not going to say you should do that, but if you do that, I will mention that you did it.
Okay. I will. I'll go ahead and post it on the Freedom Fiends fan page.
It's still legal.
Yes, currently.
Maybe.
So, yeah, man. I mean, 2 weeks later, we have a handgun that's sturdier and easier for people to make. You know, eventually we'll have more and more improvements, and you can put yourself out an AR-15 or a Bushmaster, or a scary Bushmaster. You know, we'll see what happens.
Then they'll arrest you for trademark violations.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's one. New York man. Maybe you should play this one. I think this guy is a guy who was arrested in New York for their new turning your neighbor's gun law. And I think his last name is Dean. Why don't you go ahead and play this one while we're here?
All right. While we're here, I'll play this.
Oh, you know, I had a comment while this is a teaching hospital. I forgot to tell you. When we're on radio, we can't have you set up to play a clip when we come back from a break. I can't talk when you do that, because when I did, or maybe it was just when you were doing it, maybe I think you can't do it until you're back from a break, because it was looping back the program material.
Okay.
Yeah, so just remember that. Also, did you disable that process that you're having problems with while we're doing a teaching hospital?
Indeed, I did.
Really? Permanently? Yeah. When? Not
permanently, no.
Okay. After this, let's take a few minutes and disable that. It's basically there's an update in a driver that has a memory link that was causing clicking.
Memory leak.
Leak. It was causing, clicking in our audio. So we're going to go into Windows and disable it starting, because it's not something that does anything. It's like add-ons for your touchpad. You know how programs always try to add crap you don't need?
Right.
It's like that.
Yeah, I end the process and I notice no difference between having it on or off, and yet it still tries to insert itself into my workflow on a constant basis.
Yeah.
We're going to go ahead and play this clip titled New York Man Arrested for Two, in quotes, TWO, many rounds in his handgun.
Yeah, I just want to do a quick video for you. Been keeping up with a news story out of New York State. There was a gentleman up there by the name of Gregory Dean Jr. I think he lives in Dutchess County. He was recently arrested for a couple of things, but one of them was he got arrested for having too many bullets in the magazine of his legally registered handgun. Apparently, New York State Trooper stopped him for, I think he had a tag light violation. A tag light on his car was not working, burned out, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, they pulled him over for that. And, after speaking with him, I believe they discovered he had a handgun in the car. It wasn't concealed, nothing like that. It was legally registered to him. It was a 40 caliber pistol. But upon inspection of the handgun, the trooper discovered it had 9 rounds in it instead of 7, which now with the New York Secure Ammunition Firearm Enforcement Act, whatever that BS they passed up there, they're only allowed to have 7 rounds in the handgun instead of, I think it used to be 10. Well, Mr. Dean had 9 rounds, so as you see before you, here's 2 40 caliber rounds. That right there is what got him arrested for the most part. 2 rounds of 40 caliber ammunition.
Okay. Yeah.
And the gentleman got arrested.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear him say Mr. Dean got arrested for doing something that's not a real law.
Oh, is that it? I was wondering why you wanted me to play that.
It's kind of horrifying.
We could have said all that in
It's kind
10
of horrifying.
Seconds.
I just had to hear it.
Okay. Okay.
Man, I'm so glad I left New York State, and I'm never setting foot in there again. I'm never getting up in there again, man. Never, never, never. Yeah.
Really sad. Really sad, too, that, it's just a really good example of why all of these silly edicts are ridiculous and can lead to more tyranny than you imagine. Do you think the people, when they imagined, oh, well, we should have a law that you should have a specific registration tag?
It always comes down to car stuff, man. That's how they get everybody. Yeah. Car stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And so people say, well, it's good to register your car. Well, okay, I don't think so. But even if you do grant that, the cops are going to use that as an excuse for fishing expeditions to throw people in jail and violate their basic human rights, which is what happened here.
Yeah, you know, and it comes down to picking your battles, I think. And one of the most sensible things I ever read, written by a libertarian, as far as maintaining your freedom, is in the book You and the Police by Boston Tea Party. He basically, in the first chapter, he says, you know, most nanny laws that people get arrested for, a lot of the times it's for a traffic thing. And so he basically said, have your car registration up to date, have your tags up to date, have your headlights working, drive the speed limit when you can. You know, he's also a big advocate of lead footing in the middle of nowhere and using a radar detector where it's legal. But But, you know, have your car look clean. Don't have a bunch of crap in the back of it. Take it and vacuum it out once in a while. And I've actually gotten on your case about, like, and have your warrants all paid for and taken care of. And I've gotten on your case before about warrants. And, like, it was basically based on reading that and having it be the most sensible thing I think I've ever read. Because this is a guy who has no respect for nanny laws. He has no respect for state intervention and violence. He's a total libertarian. He influenced me in a big way to become a libertarian. And we're going to have him on the radio show. I talked to him recently, not this weekend, but in a month or two, probably we're going to have Boston on for a one-hour interview on the weekend radio show. I don't know if I told you that or not. But
he's totally down for doing the radio interview, but he wouldn't touch us when we were just on the internet.
That's not true. I don't know that that's true.
Okay,
but,
fair enough.
I mean, who knows? Not answering an email is not an answer.
That's true.
And just because he didn't answer my email, you know, emails get lost in people's trash all the time. I'm finding that a lot with calling radio stations with dealing with radio stations who are trying to, like, take us on. And, like, I send them something or someone sends them something they're supposed to sign, and then they're like, oh, I never got it. And then they look in their spam folder and it's in there. Just because, you know, spam folders, I mean, it's like the trade-off with obeying traffic laws to not get arrested for worse things. Spam is a trade-off of security and privacy. It's basically, you know, if you want to have the 100 things a day go into your spam folder that are offering you make money quick, you know, occasionally you're going to get an actual business email that says, like, okay, here are the fees. Here's how much it costs. Here's what it doesn't cost. And I think you'll make money doing this. You know, that's a valid email to send to somebody you're doing business with already. But that's kind of keywords that would send something into someone's spam folder. Another take on that is, in England, they're really pushing and being really public about the, we will read your emails if it has certain keywords in it. And somebody, I think it was anonymous, somebody leaked the list of keywords they're using. So there's this movement in England now to have your sig line of your email be like those 80 keywords or something.
Smart, I think that's smart, funny. Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's genius.
Yep. So anyway, back to, I think the smartest thing I've ever read about not getting gnawed on by the state is Boston Tea Party saying, you know, he actually said, like, I have great respect for anybody who is a sovereign citizen and drives with a license plate they made themselves that just says, I have a right to drive. However, I'd never do it, and I don't think it's very sensible.
Yeah, right.
That's my take on it all the way, you know?
Yeah. Do your best to camouflage yourself from the goons, right? I mean, if you look like a fine, upstanding citizen, then they might leave you alone.
Because they don't know the difference. The state doesn't know the difference between moral and legal. And a fully moral person will often fall into the legal traps of the state. Whereas people that are fully immoral, like most of the state or all of the state, often get away with it legally. So basically his whole thing, and he says in that book, like, there's a Q&A in that book at some point, and it's like, isn't this just a guide for criminals to get away with horrible crimes? And he's like, no, they already know all this stuff anyway, and they're often too stupid to do it even when told to do it. And the only people I'm trying to help here, and the only people who will listen to this probably, are, you know, people who are moral but don't want to get caught in the maw of the legal system.
Yeah, yeah. Excellent points. I mean, and I almost wanted to say, you know, there are some things you can't help. You know, your light, one of your brake lights could go out while you're driving. But that's not an excuse to not do your best to, I don't know, check the stuff before you drive, to keep your car in good maintenance, all that kind of good stuff.
Well, it's also, I mean, since that's such a common thing and it costs so little to fix, I'd say that's something that you should just replace those bulbs every couple of years. You know, like when you get a tune up, have them replace the bulbs too. The bulbs cost like 50 cents each, and there's four of them on a car. So, you know, having those replaced or replacing them yourselves, I think would give you a lot of peace of mind and could save you a lot of money and hassle in the long run. Because why wait until they burn out? You know, I mean, put it this way, if money were no object and the law weren't intrusive like that, you probably would want those replaced all the time anyway, because you don't want one of them going out, you know, when you're driving on an icy road at night in the middle of nowhere. So it would make sense to replace them. I mean, I replace the tube in my tube preamp before it burns out, because it is mission critical to me that it doesn't fail while I'm using it. It's an attitude
during a live show.
Yeah, it'd be a good attitude on radio, especially. It'd be a good attitude to take with your car. You know, we're actually taking our car in for a few thousand dollars worth of stuff. I would say it's somewhere between routine maintenance and preventative, because we're doing some out of town driving long distances this summer, and it's just time, and we have the money to do it, so we're going to do it. I mean, it's not like we have the money to do it like, oh, we have the money to burn. Like, you know, we shopped around and got quotes from two different places that are the two best places in town. So, you know, we're getting it done. Smart. Getting it done smart, okay. Man. Smart, smart.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. So. I guess the lesson there is take care of your business, or the business will be done to you.
Unfortunately.
Even if your last name's Dean and you're from New York.
The business, yeah. Said loosely. I hate when people say the government out of business, because the government's not in the business of business.
Yeah.
It's not. They're not professionals. Cops aren't professionals, and the government is not in the business of doing things.
Yeah.
Yes. They are the mob. They are the gang of thieves, writ large, and sometimes smaller.
Yep. So speaking of 3D, this is funny, man. You posted this 3D, the new gun thing, the better gun, the Cody 2, the Cody 2.0. You posted this on Facebook. Ted Conniff replied, "Tell you what, I'm not commenting until I read the article, jerks." Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, hey, well, we did our job.
Yep. I did my job, but you helped. But we did our job. We're kind of like Lennon and McCartney. You know, one guy writes one song, one guy writes the other song. We put both our names on all of them.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Excellent.
I don't want either. I was going to say who's Lennon and McCartney and I don't really want to be either of them, because first of all, one of them comes with a Yoko. But it's the cool one that comes with the Yoko, and it's the cool one that was killed. So, you know, do you want to be the crappy one that's still around and gladly portrays his knighthood to everyone that wrote the crappier songs? Or do you want to be the cool one who's dead and had the wife that is associated worldwide with meddling?
Do you think if Lennon had survived, I mean, or not gotten shot, that he would have been knighted? I don't think so.
No,
he was,
man,
too anti-establishment and too anti-war.
Yeah. And the Beatles were all given an award by the Queen at one point in their heyday while they were together. McCartney was knighted well after, when the Beatles broke up. He was knighted for his basically contribution to the musical services of England, which basically means he's the only one of the original songwriting crew that's still alive. Well, not that he's still alive. They knight people posthumously, but that isn't a anti-state curmudgeon, because Lennon gave back his award. It wasn't a knighthood. It was a medal. It was some medal from the Queen that the Beatles all got. And a year or two later, Lennon returned his with a letter basically saying, I want the UK out of Vietnam and Biafra, I think were the conflicts that UK was involved in at the time.
Awesome. Go, yeah. Lennon.
Biafra.
John Lennon.
Biafra?
What's that?
It's what Jello Biafra is named after. You don't know what Biafra is?
Are those the islands by Argentina?
No, that's Biafra? No, it's in Africa.
Well, let's look.
I know
it up.
There's a saying like as skinny as a Biafran, because there was a lot of starvation going on there. Let's see. The Republic of Biafra was a secessionist state in southeastern Nigeria that existed from May 30th, 1967 to January 15th, 1970. The inhabitants were mostly the Igbo people who led secession due to economic, ethnic, cultural, and religious tensions. Basically, it was a war where some people wanted to be free of their overlords, and the overlords shot them, but also said, "We're going to starve you to death," and did. So that's where Jello Biafra takes his name from. His name is actually Eric Bouchard. I don't think he's any relation to Anthony Bouchard, the pro-gun guy, although he might be, because Jello was from Denver. And Anthony moved from California to Cheyenne. But Cheyenne is Denver North, so that's what we say. I told someone that from Colorado today, some radio station programmer. He laughed. It's funny.
Good. So, yeah, a British imperialist atrocity I didn't know about. Well, there you go. You learn something new every day.
Yep. Yeah. The It was independent of the UK in 1960, and then fought with other overlords who didn't want it to be independent. Yeah, that happens a lot. That does happen.
Yeah.
So, got any more today, or?
Well, we hadn't talked about the 3D printed food yet.
DJ sent me that. It was disgusting. Do you have the link? It's pretty funny.
I do. Yeah. NASA awards grant for 3D food printer. Could it end world hunger?
They want made from bug paste. It's a 3D printer that uses paste made from bugs with different food additives in them and prints them into like pastry cakes or something.
Well, that's one iteration of it. If you read the article, Michael.
If you read the article, you're right. I read the headline and the summary.
If you read the article, they have other designs, some that use canisters of starch, protein, etc., different nutritional in powder form that will then print it. They also have a 3D pizza printer that will print a layer of dough that bakes at the same time.
You're going to be saying, they took my jobs, when people can order a bug pizza over the internet and print it out in their home. Yeah. Ew. Bug pizza. Yeah.
Interesting thing, though, is the headline, NASA awards grant for 3D food printer. I always kind of think that's silly when a government agency offers a grant for something that people might want, something that, you know, entrepreneurs would invest in if they think there's a market need for it. Sort of like, I think Obama a few years back was like offering billions of dollar grant for somebody who invented a battery for a hybrid car that was like way more efficient than the ones we have now. And I'm like, there's probably already people working on that because they would get billions of dollars anyway from selling the battery.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess I don't understand what's the point of thinking you have to steal the money and then give it in grant form so that people will do something that would make the world better. People want to do things that make the world better because they're going to get the billions of dollars from consumers.
And it always ends up being used for warfare when they do that. A lot of the robotics that the U.S. military uses was designed through grant programs by citizen nerds, you know, the BattleBot people and the Maker Faire kind of people, like not all of them, but some of them they've actually had BattleBot competitions that are sponsored by the U.S. Army. Mm-hmm. And they often find the winners and the smartest guys. And basically, you know, I think it's probably something like, hey, come work for us. Or if you don't, we'll pull you over for broken taillight, have you arrested, and then steal your technology. Who knows? I don't know. That's like sci-fi.
I think it's more bribery than threatening when it comes to those kinds of things.
Yeah. And
hey, come work for us and you'll have a job for the rest of your life and benefits and a
pension.
Most
scientists are kind of amoral. And I'm not saying immoral, just they don't really have a morality other than a lot of them. And I don't want to be that collectivist, but put it this way. The ones that get hired by the military either do it because they have a sense of patriotism, which is, you know, my team is better than your team, or it's a situation where they have all these ideas of stuff they want to build and they don't have the money to do it, or they're not good salesmen, or they can't find the way in the market to do it. The market could do it, but they don't know how to connect with the market because the government has a monopoly on a lot of that stuff, or makes it really hard to connect with the market or do a startup. And so, you know, the average nerd who's hyper intelligent, who likes to build things and has come up with some way to make robots better, when the government comes to him and says, hey, we want to give you a pretty much unlimited salary and a support staff and a lab to do this in, he's like, where do I sign up, man? You're my dream come true, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And they end up making did you see that prototype someone posted on the Freedom Fiends thing? It said, like, you don't need an AR to protect yourself, but the government needs this for crowd control. And it looked like the skeleton for a RoboCop, like, actually being made. Is that what that was?
I don't know if that's what it was. It looked to me more like one of the robots in the first scene of T2 when the robots are fighting with the humans and there's the giant metal things walking with machine guns for arms that are just blasting people.
Yeah, see, that's
what it looked like to me.
That's a picture that if there were an article, I would have read it and not just be reacting on the headline, but it's just there's no article.
Okay, there you go. Some people have said that too about some of the problem with this information overload is sometimes our political discourse is based on nothing more than a JPEG with a few sentence fragments at the top and bottom.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, that thing actually could be a prop from Terminator 2 and Crazy Rich could have made that after a six-pack of good beer, and I'm thinking it's a news item. So
right.
Yeah.
So there you go. I guess do the research, or, you know, the other option is, hey, don't do the research. Just say when you're talking about it, I didn't read the article. I only read their headline, or I didn't confirm this, but I'm reacting based on my initial opinion of it. As long as you're transparent about that kind of stuff, yeah. Then that's not a problem either.
Yep. Yep. So, yep. I don't know. Yep. You got that's anything why else in, today?
Well, I guess as one more bit of information on that.
I want to go out and play. It's a really nice day. If I sound like I keep saying, you got any more? Okay, let's wrap it up. I'm looking out my window, and it's like the first day that looks like I'd like to be outside that this state has had in like 8 months.
Ah, okay, man. Sure. We can go ahead and leave it at that. Thanks for all your time, fiends, and your support, and we really appreciate everything. Thanks for listening. Peace.
Yeah. Worms.
Hello, freedom fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. 3 times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing.